Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion family. How is everyone today? Each time I say good morning, Fusion family, don't you just want to bust out in that song, "We Are Family"? Well, anyway, I'm excited to be with you this morning and to be sharing from John 17. It's a very exciting chapter, especially during this time of studying how to pray and Pastor Brendan's series on that. Very exciting. So since it's all about prayer and I'm wearing my t-shirt that says prayer works, let's open up in a word of prayer. Oh, good morning, Lord. We just come to you this morning expectant because we are diving into your word. Thank you for your beautiful word. Thank you that Jesus came so that we may see what you're like, Lord, and what you reflect and your character and all your beautiful attributes. So thank you also that you have given us your word, scripture, so that we can continue to learn what love is, what unity is, what community is, and everything else that you want to teach us. So Lord, this morning, we just ask that you would speak boldly through your word, that the Holy Spirit would prepare our souls and our spirits to receive what you have for each one of us. So quiet our hearts. Let us put our agendas aside for what we have to do today and jump into as soon as we're finished this, and give us a supernatural ability to focus on you, to have supernatural hearing skills, to hear what you would have to say to each one of us. So Holy Spirit, we're asking you to guide this soap and to teach us and to bring fruit from it. So thank you, Lord, that we can pray all of these things in your powerful name. Amen. Once again, I am reading from John 17 this morning, and I am reading from the NIV, the New International Version. And John 17 says, "After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with you, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The word of the Lord. Woo! How blessed are we to gain knowledge and wisdom today in what is Jesus's longest continual prayer in the Bible. And before we take a look at this scripture, let's get a little context from where Jesus is and what has happened during this day. So we're just going to get a little summary from chapters 13 through 16 in the book of John before we observe our scripture for today. Jesus prays this prayer in chapter 17 before he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he is about to be betrayed by his friend Judas. They just shared the Last Supper together, where Jesus reiterated to them that he was the way to the Father. He promised them the arrival of the Holy Spirit and taught them how the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. He coached them about the importance of staying connected to the vine, because as Jesus taught in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. He also warned them about the world's hatred and instructed them about using his name in prayer. Then he launches into the prayer of chapter 17, where he prays for himself, his disciples, and for future believers. In this prayer, we see the Lord's emphasis on relationship and community to be one. The Lord designed us for relationships and community, to love and to be loved by community. I was blessed to be at Fusion on Tuesday night this week for the kickoff of Connect Groups. And it was so lovely to see everyone excited and expected to engage in community. I'm praising and thanking God for Heather and for her team for organizing this new semester of Connect Groups. And Here's a plug. If you haven't joined a Connect group yet, I would highly encourage it. Connection is highly encouraged by the Lord as well. Before Jesus prays this prayer that we're about to look at, he gives this new commandment to his disciples in John 13, 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Also, Jesus knew Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 that says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Jesus, being part of the Trinity, is the best example to us of the beauty and power of community and relationship. From the get-go, the Trinity invites us into this community and relationship. As in Genesis 1:26, we read, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. They were one, they reflected each other, and the Lord is inviting us into this relationship. How mind-blowing is it to think that we're part of the Trinity, that if we have Jesus dwelling in the temple of our hearts, we are actually part of this beautiful relationship. A note in my Life Application Bible states, before Jesus came to earth, he was one with God. At this point, when his mission on earth was almost finished, Jesus was asking the Father to restore him to the original place of honor and authority. So, with all of this in mind, let's take a closer look at Jesus's longest recorded prayer. Verse 1 begins with, after Jesus said this, and that's when I stopped. And the first question I asked was, after Jesus said what? So I went back to John 16 and read the final verse, where we see that Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's a bit of a bittersweet comment. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's why Jesus launched into this prayer that we're about to read and to study. Verse 1 allows us to see Jesus's posture when he prays this prayer. He looked toward heaven and prayed. So that verse 1 is after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. AI summarizes many commentaries by sharing, Jesus's prayer posture was one of looking up to heaven, a traditional gesture of reverence and confident appeal to God common in Jewish culture. This posture of eyes lifted upward was not merely physical, but symbolized a heart full of hope, confidence, and assured trust in God's sovereign plan, even as he faced his impending crucifixion. And I would add, even as he faced coming excruciating pain and suffering, because as Jesus prayed, Father, the hour has come. A note in my Believer's Commentary shares, the hour had come. Many times, if you go through all the Gospels, you'll see many times his enemies had been unable to take him because his hour had not come. But now the time had arrived for the Lord to be put to death. Glorify your Son, the Savior prayed. He was looking ahead to his death on the cross. If he were to remain in the grave, the world would know that he was just another man. But if God glorified him by raising him from the dead, that would be proof he was God's son and the world's savior. That your son also may glorify you, the Lord continued. The meaning of this is explained in the next two verses. Jesus glorifies the Father by giving eternal life to those who believe in him. It brings great glory to God when ungodly men and women are converted and manifest the life of the Lord Jesus on this earth. Finally, Jesus prays in this opening section, "Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." He petitions the Father to reestablish the original glory which he shared in heaven before his incarnation, while at the same time he confesses his dependence on the Father. Jesus now transitions from praying for himself and acknowledging his relationship with the Father and Holy Spirit to now praying for and acknowledging his close community, his disciples, all the while still communing with God. From verses 6 to 10, Jesus doesn't really request anything for the disciples yet. He is saying things to the Father about them that we can only assume the Father already knows. Why do you think Jesus is doing this? If God already knows, why pray? Maybe it's just to be in relationship, in communion with the Father. Do you ever just sit down and have a cup of tea or coffee with the Lord and chat? I would encourage all of us, myself included, to block off 10 or 15 minutes in your agenda today and just sit with the Lord and catch up. And don't forget, it's a two-way conversation and to listen in addition to speaking. Pastor Brendan has been encouraging everyone to end their prayer time in silence and just listen. If you aren't receiving Pastor Brendan's daily prayer emails, it's not too late to sign up. There are 10 more days left in the 21 days of email prayers during this sermon series on prayer, and they have been very life-giving. I would recommend that you sign up if you haven't already. And speaking of this sermon series, this past Sunday, God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will was so powerful. We see the importance of God's name as Jesus begins to talk with the Father about the disciples. In verse 6, the ESV version says, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world." The Berean Standard Bible states, "I have revealed your name to those you have given me out of the world." The Believer's Commentary explains that the name in Scripture means the person, his attributes, and character. Christ fully declared the Father's true nature. God's glory is the revelation of his character and presence. In verse 10, Jesus declared, "Glory has come to me through them because they represented Jesus's character and presence in this world." This begs the question for us today. Over 2,000 years later, are we glorifying the Lord? Do we represent his character well? Consider talking about this during your tea time with Jesus. And then any request to improve in this area can follow. But sitting with the Lord and spending time with him, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us his character. And how we are operating well in that or not so well. So Jesus has spent this time with the Lord, communing with God, speaking with him, contemplating things, and he doesn't get to the first of two requests in his prayer for the disciples until verse 11. Protect them, or some versions say, keep them. Because they were glorifying the Lord, the disciples were sharing and illustrating and representing, revealing the character of God. We learn in verse 14 that the world hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world, Jesus says. They were countercultural. They were no longer of the world and had a higher purpose. For this reason, the world did not like them. David Guzik from Enduring Word shares that the disciples needed to be protected and kept because the 3 years of discipleship school was about to be over. They were about to experience the most intense situations and persecution without Jesus. They needed to be protected and kept from division, from error, from sin and temptation, from hypocrisy. Guzik continues, if the disciples needed this prayer, how much more do we need this prayer if we are being countercultural and glorifying the Lord? Let's take a deeper look at Jesus' explanation while he prays this for the disciples in verse 11. He specifically prays so that they may be one as we are one. The importance of relationship and community is highlighted again here. Did you ever notice that within the word community is the word unity? Unity ends, it's the final part of the word community, coming together, communing, and being in unity. That is a prayer that our world needs more than ever, unity. I have never seen such division in my lifetime. So let us follow Jesus' example and pray for unity, and that the unity would be so strong that we would be like one, like the Trinity, beautifully reflecting each other and the love of God. Let's be real. This is difficult. That is difficult. But let's remind ourselves of all the teaching that Jesus did before he prayed this prayer. He promised the power of the Holy Spirit to not be alone. He spoke of the importance of staying connected to the vine and that he was the way to the Father. In addition, praying, I believe, helps to create unity within community and foster love and connection. I'd like to give a recent testimony to this. Some of you may know James Rodis, an intern at Fusion, an 18-year-old who just graduated from high school, and I just love his passion for the Lord and his expectancy and excitement. You can just see that Jesus is operating through him. And recently, this summer, while serving on the mission trip to the Dominican Republic, we were all praying for each other and just sharing our heart's desires and our concerns and our needs. And he shared that he needed a car. So we all prayed for him, and I encouraged him to pray big and expectantly, like Jesus did in the beginning of this prayer, looking to heaven, being expectant that the Father was going to answer in a way that would line up with God's perfect will, whether he provided a car or not. So I shared with him how both of my children unexpectedly were given cars when they became of driving age. And as a family, you can imagine our surprise when a teacher of our daughters came to us and said, "We have an extra car. Do we have permission to give it to Lydia?" Oh my goodness, what a blessing and what a surprise, more than we could ever ask or imagine. And then after my dad passed away, my mom gave my son Luke a car. And ironically, they were both Ford Tauruses. I haven't quite figured out if that has any symbolic meaning or not, but the main thing was that the Lord provided when they had a need. And I told James that if the Lord Dad did that for my children, he could. I didn't know if he would, but he could do it for him too, if it was part of his perfect plan. So everyone on our team all prayed that believing that God could give James a car. So fast forward, and I'm serving on the altar one Sunday, and Pam and Weston Boyd came up, and we were praying and chatting, and Weston mentioned that he got a new car and that he was just shocked at the trade-in value being so low. And he was just commenting that he would rather give it away than get this low ball offer. Well, you know, I immediately mentioned James, and they ended up giving James the car. The Lord used prayer to create community and unity within our fusion community to provide for James. That is just such a beautiful example of the unity that God wants and how he uses prayer to create this community and unity and providing for each other. So to God be the glory for that answered prayer. So now we're on to Jesus's second request. Well, you know what? Before I go there, I think I will give my visual aid for today. This community and unity of becoming one. I asked the Lord, what's a good visual aid for unity? And I couldn't help but think of a magnet, how a magnet, it just attracts the two sides, attract each other and become one. So I don't have one of those big, huge magnets that would, show the power of that, but I have certain magnets on my refrigerator. And this one says peace. And then I also have this, magnet that's a heart that connects and they become one. And I also have this magnet, Jesus es la luz del mundo. Jesus is the light of the world. And this magnet, they all stick together. They're all unified and they are one. So that's my visual aid today. Think every time you see a magnet or think of a magnet and how they're attracted and they become one. That's what the Lord wants for us. And this unity not only provides provision, it also provides protection, encouragement, like the first prayer request that Jesus had for his disciples. Now we're about to look at Jesus's second prayer request for the disciples, and it comes in verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to set apart for sacred use, cleansed, and made holy. A note in my Life Application Bible reads, "A follower of Jesus has already accepted forgiveness through Christ's sacrificial death, but daily application of God's word has a purifying effect on our minds and hearts. Scripture points out sin, motivates us to confess, renews our relationship with Christ, and guides us back to the right path. And I celebrate all of you participating in SOAP as I believe the Lord is using it to help answer Jesus's prayers for his modern day disciples to sanctify us. Even though we're apart, we're still communing together, getting together in unity, encouraging each other and seeking him together. That's the power of this community, unity, and love that he is praying for here in John 17. So Jesus has prayed for himself, he has prayed for his disciples, and now he prays for future believers. Think about that. He prayed for all of us to follow him. I wrote in my Bible years ago, Wow, Jesus prayed for me. More recently, Jesus prayed for those that came to Fusion Church for the first time this past Sunday. And the 39 people who gave their life to the Lord who were far from Jesus this past Sunday. Wow, what an answer to prayer for 39 new believers. And Jesus's prayer continues. We learned during the sermon series on Romans 8 and verse 34 that Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So he prayed for us before we knew him, and he continues to pray for us now that we do know him. And because the Trinity is in perfect unity, it's not surprising that later in Romans 8 and verses 26 through 27, we learn that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words when we don't know how to pray, and he pleads on our behalf according to God's will. I don't know about you, but that blows me away, encourages me, and gives me confidence to engage with God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will, which will lead to unity and, most importantly, to glorifying the Lord, allowing his character and presence to be revealed and not mine. If you missed Pastor Brendan's sermon this past Sunday, it's available online. If you were there, I would encourage you to listen to it again, and it will point you to the protection, unity, joy, sanctification, and glorification of God that Jesus prays about in this chapter of John. David Guzik summarizes John 17 by saying, "The prayer begins in relationship and love and ends in relationship and love. It's a prayer from a son to a father. And you, as a son or daughter of God, have a right to come before God, to come into his presence, and to pray a thoughtful prayer with reasons for what you pray and to remember to commune with God." There is much more to learn from this amazing prayer that Jesus prayed. 30 minutes is only enough time to scratch the surface. Please spend some more time asking the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and to continue to teach you in this amazing chapter. So let's close with prayer, but not my prayer, Jesus's prayer that he prays in verses 23 through 26. May we be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. We know you. Fusion Church knows you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself be in them. Amen and amen. Thank you, Fusion Church, for the opportunity to share this amazing prayer of Jesus with you. And may we continue to bring it to other people. And may the Lord continue to bring revelation to us, all the while being in unity and community. Love you all. May you have a blessed day.